to the Disney Magic Podcast. I'm Joel.
And I'm Megan.
And we like to talk about Disney things. Specifically this week, we're talking about Home on the Range.
Okay.
That's why I called you out last week. Because I had no idea what was coming this week.
Oh, just okay. Fine. If we must.
Home on the Range was released April 2nd, 2004. Which I haven't been keeping track, but, you know, because I say the date every time, like, it's the first time it's not somewhere in the summer or November long time. So, I don't know why they broke that. This was also, obviously, their last traditional hand-drawn animation for a while. Which I've seen some reports that say that that was announced before this movie was coming out, and I feel like I remember that.
I don't know.
But I'm not 100% sure. And then other reports have said because this did so poorly and was, you know, in a string of ones that did so poorly, this was kind of a,
last straw,
yeah, kind of thing to...
I'm not sure. I feel like the stuff that came just before this wasn't as stellar either, so I wouldn't be surprised if it was before this. I'd be even less surprised if it was after, but I don't know. I don't remember very well.
Yeah, so I do remember, like, around that time them saying that, yeah. But I wasn't paying attention in 2004.
That seemed really weird to me, that just, like, definite statement, like, no more Disney movies ever. Like, okay. Like, well, first of all, the fact that they felt the need to announce that seemed kind of strange to me. Like, as long as you keep making movies, I don't feel like people care what medium they're in.
I mean, but this was, you know, this was right after, like, Finding Nemo.
Right.
And maybe Shrek 2 was either, like, right before or right after this. And so,
right.
You know, those are, like, two of the biggest money makers ever.
It seems weird to make a definite statement like that about something that, like...
Yeah.
Would only get people angry at you. Like, I don't know anyone who is like, all right, no more 2D movies ever again. This is the best plan. I hate 2D movies. Especially all those Disney ones. Those are all crap. Like,
well, the thing is, like, you know, it's because, obviously, you know, these other two, for after Disney being, you know, super definite the guys for animation for, you know, the past decade and a half, as well as the past since Snow White, you know, to then have these other two computer animation things. But, you know, like, throughout the past ones, every time we've been like, story problem, but the animation is really nice. Like, that's been the constant thing.
It's never been an animation problem.
So.
Other than, like, slight weird things, which have mostly been because of 3D animation.
Yeah, because of awkward 3D animation in there.
Yeah. Like, in this movie, there's a couple of instances where I was just like, why is this 3D? What are you doing? Stop it.
But yeah, this was the last one until, obviously, Princess and the Frog.
Yep.
Which, ironically, maybe ironically, depending if that word is right, came about because John Lasseter became in charge and...
Yeah, that's kind really of ironic. Passionate. We'll go with ironic.
So,
my English degree gives me power to say ironic.
The authority. yeah, this movie was pitched in 1995, so right after Pocahontas. So this is another one that took a while to happen. It was originally pitched as The Pied Piper, which makes sense.
You can kind of
see some stuff in there about that. But Michael Eisner said no because he thought nobody would take their kids to see a movie where kids get murdered.
Well, you know, I don't always agree with Michael Eisner.
Fair point, Michael Eisner.
But that seems perfectly reasonable, yes.
So, yeah. Other incarnations, there's a version called Sweating Bullets, where the calf was named Bullets, and he had to save his cattle herd. Originally, this movie was going to be released November 2003, but story problems, etc., they had to switch this with Brother Bear. So, that might have had, you know, some factor in the April release instead of the November release, that they kind of had it done now.
Yeah, like, it's just going to sit here if we don't do anything with it.
Yeah. So, might as well get this last one out.
Yeah.
This last one forever. I mean 5 years. But forever.
Yep.
So, Anyway, let's start this movie.
Yep.
They brand the Walt Disney logo.
I thought that was cute.
That was nice.
So it starts out with basically Monument Valley. Essentially everything in this movie takes place in Monument Valley, which if you know anything about the American kind of Southwest area, not everything is Monument Valley Disney. There is in fact more to it than just that place. But pretty much everything takes place in and around that area. And a shot of the rabbit who we get introduced to way later.
Yeah, I forgot about that rabbit.
I did too.
So, and they have this song called Home on the Range, which I actually liked. I liked the music.
The music in this movie was totally fine.
You know why? Alan Menken did it.
Did he really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I didn't know that till the end of the credits. I was like, well, that's why this was one of the strongest parts of this movie. Yeah. There you go.
Sense. So, there's also some talk in the beginning of, what is his name? Almeida?
Slim.
Yeah.
Something Slim. I called him Slim.
I think it's Almeida.
Yeah.
The cattle wrestler.
Yeah, he's really good at stealing cattle, basically. And he'd stolen this giant amount of cattle, all except for Roseanne the cow. And
Roseanne the cow and these two other cows.
Well, the two other cows are on Patch of Heaven, not on Dixon Farm.
Oh, yeah.
So he stole everything.
I thought you meant all of the cows in, like, the state. No. All of them except for Roseanne.
From this one farm, he stole everybody but Roseanne the cow.
This is the first Disney movie that it really bothers me that the voice actors are recognizable. I can't hear Roseanne's voice without picturing Roseanne, and I don't like Roseanne's voice, so it was kind of annoying the whole movie to be like, oh, that's your choice for main character. Okay.
I didn't mind that. It's been really interesting to see how many famous people have been in these movies, you know?
Yeah.
Because other than, like, you know, Robin Williams is really recognizable as a genie, and, like, Eddie Murphy was really recognizable as Mushu. But, like, Joaquin Phoenix was in Brother Bear.
Yeah, I
would never, known that. Like,
yeah.
I don't, like, that's a Joaquin Phoenix voice.
Yeah.
I hear this. So, yeah, that's, like, I'm really curious as to why he got that role. But
it took me a little bit to recognize Judi Dench, and then I was really sad for Judi Dench.
I do feel a little bad for Judi Dench here.
Judi Dench, you have done so many wonderful things. Why are you here? I'm sure she just got a call, and they were like, Disney movie, and she was like, sure, and then, no.
And the third cow is Jennifer Tilly.
I love Jennifer Tilly's voice.
Who, yeah.
She's got an adorable, adorable voice, and it works for the character really
It does
well.
Work really well for the character. But I don't mind Roseanne.
I have no problem with her as, like, a person,
like,
her voice is... Ugh.
Like, it really fits the character of Roseanne from the show.
That's true.
And that's, like, that's kind of Roseanne. Like, you know, I don't see a lot of, you know, acting range from Roseanne other than, you know, this one character she's really, really good at.
Yeah.
So.
I just kept expecting her to, like, do laundry and give her kids life advice.
Well, that was, like, Maggie's the actual name of the cow, by the way. I didn't like Maggie.
I didn't either.
She was just kind of annoying.
I'm not really sure if we're supposed to warm up to her by the end of the movie, but I totally didn't.
Mm-mm.
Like, the whole time, I was just like, just ditch Maggie. She's really annoying.
So, yeah, that's like critical error of this movie,
main character is not
every
likeable.
Flaw of this movie stems from the fact that I didn't like this character.
Well, there's also, like, general plot development problems, but that was a huge problem for me, because I didn't care about anything that was happening if it was happening to her.
But we got off on a hour and a half tangent on Beauty and the Beast about plot problems, like...
Yes, it's true.
That's a pretty common thread.
It's true.
You know, in this one, but Beauty and the Beast had Beauty and the Beast to back it up, and this one has Home on the Range to back it up.
But both apparently have Alan Menken to back them up.
They do. We're introduced to Maggie, the cow, with this line where she says, yeah, they're real, basically talking about her udders. So, haha joke.
There's so many jokes
that fall flat in this movie.
They're bad jokes, and there's a lot of them.
But the thing is, like, so that joke, that's, like, the sole reason this movie's PG. Like,
is
that
it really?
One joke. They're like, that's it. Everything else is G in this movie, but...
Boom reference! Nope. That's really funny.
So, and I'm wondering, you know, sometimes, like, to try and get a hipper kid audience to, you know,
to make boob jokes.
They'll intentionally go for the PG rating. Maybe. I'm really curious about like that one joke if they had to specially squeeze it in. Yeah, but so many jokes in this movie. And it's not like that one's a little like awkward, but like there's a lot of them that are just like
not funny.
When somebody makes a joke in front of a crowd, yeah, and you're like, oh, I'm embarrassed for you. Oh
yeah. There's also a lot of just really bad like burp jokes. There's so many bad burp jokes
in this movie. Lot of burping in this movie.
There is a lot, and it's not used well. It's like, remember, it's not funny.
Remember there was a big deal that Pumbaa farted like nearly 10 years ago?
Yep. Now everything's
so it's perfect. Like they've crossed that threshold.
So we get introduced to Little Patch of Heaven.
Yes.
Which is a farm. I really liked this song. I don't even really like country music that much, but this song is really sweet.
I like this song. This is like the second song in 4 minutes, so.
It is.
I'm really like, yeah, music's back.
Yay! Hooray! It's a little farm. It's owned by this little old lady. I can't remember her name.
Pearl.
Pearl's her name. That's right.
I was like going through my old lady name.
And she's really sweet and she loves her animals a lot. And there's like a bunch of pigs. There's a goat, like a really grumpy goat.
There's a grumpy goat.
He's so tiny.
There's some chickens. And there's little baby chicks.
Yeah.
And a duck. Like this one random duck.
Oh, yeah, the random duck. I didn't even really think about that. Yeah. Why is that duck here?
I don't know why that duck's there.
And
then the important cows.
Yeah. Grace is Jennifer Tilly. And
yes.
The other one is Miss Calloway?
Miss yeah, they refer to her as Miss C a lot.
Yeah.
So, the thing I really liked in this movie is the people. I really liked all the people characters.
Were good.
I really liked the character design on all the people. It really reminded me of.
I didn't like the cows as much, though.
No, I didn't like the cows. I didn't like the design.
No.
I didn't like, we said before, I didn't like Maggie's character. But the people really reminded me of, like, the package films. Like, Johnny Appleseed.
It reminded me of Pecosbill a lot.
Yeah.
The whole movie reminded me of Pecosbill, except for. Wasn't as awesome as Pecosbill.
Except there weren't so many guns.
Yeah, there weren't enough guns. That's what it was. We get introduced to the farm, and Maggie comes in and is really obnoxious. There's, like, really terrible background music in the scene. Oh, God.
She's very brass.
And then there were a lot of rope jokes.
Yeah.
but essentially what we get here is that Patch of Heaven's going to be up for auction because Pearl hasn't been able to pay her bills.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so here's the weirdest thing about this situation to me. She says that she's really attached to her farm animals. She doesn't want to sell any of her farm animals.
Yeah.
She's raising pigs.
Yes.
What does she plan on doing with the pigs exactly? Like, okay, you can get the cows, attachment to cows, I can understand. I get that. Even attachment to chickens, I can kind of understand. Because, they at least are useful for laying eggs and stuff. Goat, I guess you could milk that goat. I wouldn't want to get anywhere near that goat. But the pigs, I just don't quite comprehend why you would own pigs on a farm and not pay your bills. Like, wouldn't you, just not have pigs?
I mean, there's, clearly she's like, she looks at them all as family or pets, So, like, I could see her just being like, I like animals.
She has 5 pigs.
She has a pig. Well, like, that's when I was like, does she eat eggs,
I assume.
Because clearly she's some level of vegetarian. Just, yes. She has to be if she's on a farm where she won't sell any animals.
Yeah.
And so,
there's even a chicken who says, who would want to eat chicken? That did make me laugh.
That did. And it kind of makes sense because she lives in this...
She lives in this idyllic weird farm that doesn't kill anything ever. It just seems really problematic to me to be like, nope.
Well, it is. Obviously, it's the whole problem of the entire movie is she won't sell an animal.
That just doesn't make any sense.
Because, all the animals are going to get sold anyway.
Yeah, basically.
So... But yeah, she won't sell any animal. She also, when the sheriff suggested it, started swinging this hoe at him.
Is attacking this
cartoon or no cartoon? That's a man of the law.
Yeah, I know. Because
he's clearly,
he clearly cares about her. He's clearly like a friend. They call each other by their first names.
He's trying to give her some helpful advice, and no, that gets him attacked.
So Maggie has the idea that they're gonna go to town to enter the fair to win some money.
She wants to, when the sheriff's over, the sheriff has this horse named Buck. And Buck is...
Cuba Gooding Jr.?
Yes.
Yep.
He's very full of himself. He's very super, yeah, I'm awesome.
He was annoying, too. I don't like him either.
He wasn't as bad.
He wasn't as bad, but I still don't really like him very much.
I liked him fine, but I'm not going to begrudge you for disliking him.
Disliking the obnoxious horse.
He was not the gem of the film for me, no.
He kind of reminded me of Maximus, but Maximus talked and was annoying in the talking. Like, just mannerism-wise, he reminded me a lot of Maximus.
I can see that. They have, you know... Hoo-ah horses a lot. That's kind of a thing.
That's a genre of horse.
So they're going to go to town, and they're going to basically convince Buck to let them have a few more weeks so that the fair can roll around so they can enter the fair.
I don't understand how that plan's going to work. Buck can't talk to people.
I don't know.
The cows don't talk to people.
I mean, that's a fundamental problem in this movie, is how the cows are going to successfully convey that they have captured Miss Wrestler and now deserve people money.
It's very weird.
So, I don't know. I don't know what their whole plan is via human communication. But...
Morse code.
Tabbing it out.
I don't understand.
I don't know. But yeah, they can't, the convincing Buck doesn't work because, one, he doesn't care, and two, they need $750 instead of, like, the 50 or 60 that they're going to win.
Is a pretty delightful scene in there, though. One of my favorite scenes in the movie is where they accidentally end up on stage in the saloon, and they think it's the sheriff's office because they had a star on the door. That was pretty funny, especially when they get out and Grace is like, you'd never get anything done with all that alcohol and women around. No, he wouldn't.
That was funny, but like that was the other besides disliking the character. That was the other big problem I have with this movie. Is like it's so out of control.
It's like, very rambly. There's
constant like crazy stuff coming out of nowhere
for no reason. And it doesn't do anything to further the plot. And a lot of times it's not funny. That was at least funny.
That joke was funny, but then there's this weird like father son thing.
Yeah,
which was like. I see why it's supposed to be funny, but it was too weird and out of nowhere to be funny. Never mentioned again, just like...
Just random dude in drag at the saloon. I don't understand.
So, I don't know, it reminds me of Emperor's New Groove if like 50 to 60% of the jokes land.
Yeah.
So, but there's that solid 40%.
That's just... Stand up.
That is still like said. Very clearly supposed to be jokes, and there's like here's funny. Where you laugh, and you're like, all right, okay.
And like you know, so. And at my age, it's honestly kind of difficult to see like what a 5-year-old would sound find funny, you know. But like this movie just really hits a point where it's like not funny to me at all. So I'm not sure if it would be more funny to small children, but.
That's the thing, like I said last week, my brother really loved this movie. So, you know, he probably came and was like, they burped so much in this movie.
Probably.
And it worked every time. It always got me.
This is true.
So
Rico shows up. Rico is a bounty hunter.
Yes.
And,
I really like Rico.
Buck is essentially in love with Rico. The whole movie, that he's just like so excited to be in his presence. Essentially, I love Rico too. He's like a standard Western bounty hunter.
Yeah, this like you know man with no name, kind of like
he's got a big long coat and a big hat, and he doesn't talk very much.
Everybody's like very scared, and he catches this fly at the beginning, like his intro. He catches this fly,
he's
buzzing around. And he goes, "Shh!" And the fly goes, "I'm sorry."
Good.
That one made me laugh a lot.
Yeah, that was fun. I like him.
So that's the other thing, though. When the jokes work, they really work in this movie.
It's true.
There's several times in this movie I really laughed out loud.
But they're so hit or miss. So this leads the cows to decide that they're going to be bounty hunters.
Yes.
They're going to go capture
Slim.
Alamada?
Slim.
I don't know. We're bad at this.
They refer to him as Slim a lot in this movie.
They do. But they're going to go capture him because it's worth $750, which is what they need to buy the farm back.
Which is, like, a really convenient, like...
Yeah, like...
70s, 80s sitcom, Into the Talent Show kind of pricing.
Yep. The cows are going to become bounty hunters. Let's just take a moment to mull over the fact that that is the actual plot of this movie. Yep.
That doesn't matter, because that could have worked. Like, pitch another Disney movie.
I guess. Yeah.
Especially when it's
Lion, Lion Hamlet.
Yeah. Like, you know, let's do Hamlet, but with lions.
Yeah, okay. That's
or, like, Ratatouille is like, what if a rat could cook by yanking hair?
That's true. But it just, by this point, I was already, like, not as fond of this movie as I had maybe hoped I would be. I assumed ahead of time that it was not going to be good, but I was still had a vague glimmer of hope that it would be okay, and it was like, cow bounty hunters, and I was like, yep, that's a thing, okay.
Well, I knew going into this it was cow, but that was the only thing I knew about
this movie. I didn't know anything about the plot of this
movie. Cow bounty hunters.
I knew there were three lady cows, and that was it.
Yeah. Oh! But they get sidetracked from going on their mission by getting tied up to this
really racist Chinese
man. Where did this come from?
There's this Chinese man, and he has chopsticks sticking out of the top of his hat. And I immediately had to pause the movie and be like, Disney, it is 2004. Is this really what you're going with?
You know what it really reminded me of? What? Is Shanghai Noon, that Jackie Chan in the West movie.
Yeah, that's how bad it was, in fact. Oh, God. And he speaks Chinese. This wasn't funny. It was just weird. And he thinks that he's, like...
He thinks he won free cows.
Basically. And the sheriff doesn't recognize the cow in the hat.
That's a good point.
Are there a lot of cows in hats around?
I have no response to not recognizing cow in hat.
Even if he doesn't recognize the other cows, the one in the hat seems recognizable to me. If I saw a cow in a hat, I would at least, like, be like, oh, this is odd.
I've seen it earlier that day.
Yeah. But, so Chinese guy gets cows. Racist Chinese guy gets cows.
So they're walking past,
they're going to a cow run.
Yes. They're walking past the Dixon farm.
That was sad.
Which is very clearly being bought by Slim and caught in disguise.
Yes.
So.
And my favorite is that his disguise name is, spells out Yodel.
Yes.
So it's nice.
Y-O-D-E-L.
Yeah.
So, and so while they're walking, Grace starts singing because she sings while they walk, which apparently is important later on, which I was actually pretty impressed with.
I know, it's doing continuity, not random Chinese guys with drag queens.
Up until the point where it becomes important, that was a joke that wasn't working, and I was like, let this joke die, guys, because I can't sing, I get it.
Yeah, no, it was actually a purposeful, terrible joke.
Yeah, I was and it came around, so good on them. But before that, they're at the cattle run, and...
There's all these bulls.
Yes, there's like macho bulls who start macking on the ladies. The lady cows.
That's also not very funny. This whole sequence, I was like,
The bulls kind of tickled me.
Some of the bulls were funny, but a lot of the bulls were just like, oh, I know what this experience is like. That's uncomfortable. I'm sorry, lady cows, but the two main bulls are pretty funny.
They were funny. And so this is where
they're like frat boys.
Yeah, they are.
It's really, really pretty delightful.
Yeah. This is where Slim comes in. To steal the cows.
Oh, no, the worst part about that scene, I just remembered, was that during that scene with the bulls where they're hitting on them, there's, like, bad porn music in the background.
Is there really?
There's really, like, standard, terrible, sexy music in the background. It's really awful.
I didn't notice that.
It's bad.
No. I just noticed that the frat bulls made me giggle.
Yeah.
But then Slim comes out, and we learn that he's such a good cow stealer because he hypnotizes them through yodeling.
You can't see my face right now, but I promise you it's on a table. This is the stupidest plot point. There's no reason for this to be a thing. He could be extremely good at lassoing. That would be totally relevant.
However, this is the first time we've heard a Disney character sing since when?
Oh, I guess it has been a long time.
I think Mulan.
Yeah. Was it worth it for this?
I was just happy. I was like, singing on the screen.
I mean, he's an excellent yodeler. I'm not putting down the yodeling skills. But this was so...
I mean, this is what they're working from, though. This is Pied Piper. It's Pied Piper.
It's Pied Piper, but it's Pied Piper with way too much other crap. So when you get to the Pied Piper, you're just like, what? What happened here? When did I get to Pied Piper? Oh. It seems so unnecessary.
See, this, like, I didn't mind.
This scene, though, is really cute. Like the musical number is cute.
Yeah, it's good musical number.
It's very Pink Elephants on Parade.
And, like, he was entertaining. He's a very entertaining bad guy.
Yeah.
And it really does remind me of, you know, Emperor's New Groove.
Yeah.
And complaining about the plot for this movie feels like complaining about, like, the map joke, which I couldn't stand.
I love the map joke!
I was like, no! You've broken your plot!
They just don't need that fourth wall. Nobody needs that nonsense.
So that's how I thought about this one. I was like, it's, you know, it's just like that with more of the jokes missing. More of the jokes falling flat.
Kronk is even in it.
Kronk is in it! For 2 minutes!
But I feel like the plot of Emperor's New Groove is a lot more concise. There's a lot less random.
There is.
The stuff that happens that's, like, silly in the Emperor's New Groove happens in conjunction with the rest of the plot. There's a definite, like, 2 or 3 plot line plot that all works together and comes together at the end nicely. Whereas this is just like, would you like all of the plot lines and all of the random background characters and all of this nonsense and 700 burp jokes? Like, no, I don't.
I agree with you there.
I want a couple of plot lines that I can handle, please.
I agree with you there, but because I liked Slim, and I really liked his little nephews. His nephews.
I loved his
nephews. Those were easily the best part of the whole movie.
They were like, yeah, definitely top favorite characters. Dumb nephews. They're like quadruplets or something. I didn't think they're
triplets. There's three of them, yeah.
Oh, they were funny. And I liked some as a character, I did.
So because of that, I didn't mind the yodeling. Because at this point, I'm definitely not invested in, like, plots making sense.
Yeah.
It's on the level of...
That's true.
They will definitely sacrifice story for joke here.
I think I would have definitely accepted this more had the rest of the plot been better. Just, I was trying to think of a nicer word, but I really can't. Just generally more concise and made more sense than I would be more willing to be like, yeah, sure, yodeling, cow thief, whatever. But this is just on top of everything else, on top of racist Chinese guy.
See, this is the exact point where I'm like, finally, something I can get behind. Let's have more of this yodeling cow bandit. This is exactly what I've been missing in this movie.
Yep. So he steals all these cows.
But he doesn't steal Grace because she's tone deaf. That's the plot point from the she can't sing.
It totally makes sense. Except for, I don't think tone deafness works that way. I'm pretty sure it just means you can't sing. I don't think it means you can't, like, appreciate music.
I don't know.
But
I
went with it because it made the most sense of anything in this movie. So, So he's got this underground cavern full of cows. Just everything I say about this movie makes me laugh because it makes no sense. He's got this underground cavern full of cows. And they're talking about his evil plan, basically,
yes.
Which is to buy up all the land. Like, all of it.
Yes.
He's got, like, a map of the United States. He's just got brands everywhere.
He seems to be revenging for something. Like, that's never made clear.
Yeah, it is, like, actually. Because I thought it wasn't made clear, and thinking back on it now, it's just because people don't like his yodeling.
Is that it?
That's it.
Okay.
Yes. That's the main revenge plot line.
Well, the thing is, like, this is where, like, he really, like, James Bond villain monologues his whole plan out.
He does.
And I really didn't like that. I was like, oh man, I got this whole plot when, like, he walked by in the background.
And it makes so much sense in the context of how dumb his nephews are.
I know.
My favorite is when he realizes that little Patch of Heaven is the exact same shape and size of his nephew's head.
And his nephew had been sitting in the same spot on the couch.
And he's just like, it's my comfy spot. That was really funny. That was, honestly, that's like my favorite moment in this movie.
The best joke in the movie.
Yep.
So.
Basically. Okay, I don't understand how this quite works. So, there's this train that comes in.
Here's the thing. So, Buck is after... Okay, so the cows are after Slim.
Yes.
And...
Buck gets,
like...
Ditched?
Yeah, because he's bragging and dancing around the cows.
And he thinks he's skittish.
Which Rico interprets as skittish. So he ditches him and goes on another horse. So Rico's after Slim, the cows are after Slim, and now Buck is after Slim. So there's a lot of after Slim.
Yeah.
So I'm like, Slim's definitely getting caught in this movie.
There's no chance that all of these things will not find one person. There's a flood scene.
Yeah, remember when you were complaining about the bear and Fox and the Hound? This flood came out of nowhere!
And they're like, oh, it's a flash flood! And I'm like,
what's the flash? It is the flash flood!
It is the most flash of floods! And then they have an argument, and that's really annoying because... Is that not here?
No, this is here, okay. But this is the biggest problem I had with this movie.
Because Maggie's just an idiot. The whole time. And the whole time I'm just like, no, Maggie, you should probably just, like, shut up. And she doesn't. And it's really frustrating.
But then Judy Dench-Cow blames the foreclosure of the farm on Maggie.
And I'm like, she hasn't even been
cannot
here.
Possibly be Maggie's fault.
Make any sense.
Even in, like, the most, you know, skewed, deranged point of view.
The whole movie, they treat it like she's been here forever. Like, very often, they'll, like, talk about her like she's part of the farm. I'm like, she was there for literally, like, 10 seconds before you left. She did a trip with some corn, and then they left.
Yeah.
Like, I don't really understand why they think she's such a, like, integral part to the farm.
I don't know, and it actually, like, it really is glaringly obvious at this one point where, you know, they cut back to all the animals on the farm who think they've, you know, the cows are bandits, and they want bandits. Remember this one time
when
this cow did this, and remember this one time this other cow did this, and then remember Maggie? Well, she seemed nice.
Awkward.
Like, yeah, it's like, really, like, oh, that nobody really has a history with this one.
Yep. There's a sad little scene with
Pearl.
There's
the sad raining song where everybody's sad. Pearl's looking at these pictures of her animals.
She has photos of her animals. She has photos of her animals hung in their stalls in the barn.
Well,
I'm beginning to think that Pearl is a crazy cat lady with cows.
She definitely is. Which is why I was sitting there like, I wonder who took all these pictures for her. She's in all of these pictures.
It's true.
But the thing is, at the very end of the movie, there's this dude taking pictures of her.
This dude! Yep.
So I was like, there's the cat one!
Yep.
So,
The house looks really weird. She's in the house and she's packing stuff up, and it's like a CG house, and the rest of it's 2D, and it looks really strange. And they only do that a couple of times in this movie, but it really does not work well. It doesn't mesh at all. Okay, sad song about rain.
Sad song about rain. And then the jackrabbit comes back.
And then it's the morning and the rabbit's back.
And I'm like, oh, yeah.
Joy, oh joy. His name is Lick Jack. He's got one leg. I don't know why. No, well,
because somebody cut off his lucky rabbit foot.
I know. But, like, he's got one human-type leg. one bipedal-type leg.
He has his leg and then he has his peg leg.
Yes.
So.
And he's fine. He's not my favorite character, but he's not terrible. So
he's definitely my favorite animal.
Is he really?
My favorite animal?
Is he more your favorite than Kronk Horse? Because I love Kronk Horse!
I did like him, and I didn't really like the buffalo.
The buffalo is really good.
So.
I like Grace, too. She seems so reasonable. Compared to everybody else, I'm like, yeah, chill cow.
Well, here's the thing. Like, later, Grace, like, has the plan all down, and they're like, you know, having to be like, oh, man, the dumb cow got it. And I was like, Chris hasn't done anything dumb in this movie. No. Like, I mean, she's supposed to be the dumb girl. That's clearly her character.
But she seems more like a therapist.
But she,
than
you know,
anything else. What's that saying exactly?
She has Jennifer Tilly's voice, which, you know,
yeah,
fits really well for a dumb girl character.
It's true.
But, like,
she's not really dumb.
No, and she figures stuff out pretty well, and she's really helpful a lot. And
she's,
so,
like, not a very good singer.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I could think of that they would be like, oh, she's dumb. Like, she doesn't realize that she's tone deaf. But most tone deaf people don't realize they're tone deaf.
Yeah,
so
she does say she has perfect pitch. The rabbit offers a really convenient plot point, though.
Yes, that's true.
Like, when the toad is there, he's like, oh, I know exactly where Slim's hiding.
Yes.
So.
Yes. So he's in this cave, and they, okay, so I did not know whether or not his name was Mr. Wesley or Mr. Weasley, because he said both.
It's Wesley, and Slim kept calling him Weasley.
Okay. Is that supposed to be a joke?
Yes.
Okay. Good job, then. So Mr. Wesley, who is, what's his face?
Steve Buscemi.
He's Steve Buscemi, yes. Which was also distracting, but less distracting because this character looked kind of like Steve Buscemi.
He's a creepy-looking guy.
Yeah. Okay, I don't understand what they're trying to do with these cows. Are they trying to eat these cows? Is that what they're going to do? Are they going to kill the cows? Or are they trying to sell the cows? Because who the hell are they going to sell the cows to? Because he just bought out everything ever, so clearly no one has any money.
Slim is definitely selling the cows to Wesley on the black cow market.
The black cow
market. I think they even say black cow market.
Do they really?
Or they're like,
something
yeah,
similar.
Like when he comes in on the train, he's like, here's Mr. Wesley, the proprietor buyer on the top black cow market.
But what does he even do with the cows?
I'd sell them elsewhere.
I guess so, but later on it makes it sound like he's going to kill them, and I was like, wait a minute. Did someone imagine killing these cows? Because I totally missed that part.
I mean, that's what happens to cows, so
well,
like, it's
yeah,
not a stretch.
Yeah, I mean, I guess they are, like,
you know,
mostly. But it's just, nobody ever clarified that. So at the end, when they, like, mildly implied it, I was like, what? Was this supposed to be more threatening? I was just thinking, like, oh, they're going to sell them to their farm. Like, I don't know.
I mean, he's also, like, he has the territory. I guess there's still
yeah,
more America out there.
I suppose.
He wasn't Patrick Heaven away from owning America.
They're going to have to go a ways, though.
They're trying to get in. Buck has made it, and Buck is having problems getting past the bull bouncer, or the buffalo bouncer.
Yeah, because he says only cows allowed, so that the cows just kind of, like, stroll casually
yeah,
in,
yep,
which is funny. And my favorite is that Buck's like, what about the rabbit? He's like, well, the rabbit was clearly with the cows. Like, good job, buffalo.
I did like the buffalo. He's my favorite, yeah.
Yeah, and Kronk horse time.
Yes.
He spots his horse replacement. Buck
yes,
finds his horse replacement.
That Rico had.
I don't even know if the horse has a name.
I don't know, but yeah.
He's voiced by the same guy who voices Kronk, so it's Kronk horse.
Yeah, which is like so weird because he has such a well-defined voice. Like,
yeah, so it's weird
to
hear him again in a different character. But he was delightful, and he manages to convince Kronk horse that, that it's going to be difficult to get them back. What did he...
That once Rico, like, he uses the whip to
oh,
hurry back,
right,
and he has to carry both Rico and the captor, and Slim's
yeah,
really fat, so run for
well,
your life.
The weird thing about Slim is they keep talking about how fat he is, and they keep talking about his pant size in that song, and I'm like, okay, the top of him is kind of fat, but his legs are teeny tiny,
yes,
so I don't understand why people keep calling him fat. He's really not that fat. He's just kind of weirdly proportioned.
He just has very big shoulders.
If you stripped all the fat from the top of him into the bottom of him, he'd be one normally proportioned, fairly thin human being.
Well, you know, this is, like, really crazy character design.
It's true.
In this thing to begin with. Like, except for Rico. Rico is, like, really...
Rico looks super, like,
super well-proportioned.
Yes.
Everything is normal-sized,
yeah,
and it's, you know... Everybody else has something that's crazy. Like, Pearl has this
yep,
giant nose, and the sheriff has this giant mustache.
Yep.
Everybody has, like, one giant thing.
One giant thing.
And for Slim, it's his head and shoulders.
And for Rico, it's his hat.
Okay, done. So, for Rico, it's his hat.
So, they get inside the cave, and they stuff their ears with cotton so they can't hear.
Yes.
This
is a pretty good, well-thought-out plan for cows.
Yes.
I gotta say, they
yes,
fake being hypnotized for the yodeling.
Yes.
So they can sneak up behind him and throw him in a cart, a mine cart.
Yep.
And tie him up and then hit him on the head.
There's, oh my god, there's so much mine cart chasing.
There's a lot of minecart chasing.
There's a lot of and it's all, like, mildly CG and funny looking.
Yeah.
Also, it would make a good roller coaster.
This is the video game level. Yeah. Like, clearly.
Basically, yeah.
So this is the escape from the Cave of Wonders.
There's thing. Also a Goofy scream in here somewhere. I don't remember. Maybe the buffalo?
I didn't hear it, maybe.
No, I think so. Yeah, somebody falls off a cliff. And they make Goofy scream, and I was like, yeah, Goofy scream.
So, I like the chasing. It was slapsticky and stuff. There was a
yeah.
lot of dynamite there at the end, though.
Why would you have that much dynamite in a cave that you filled with cows?
It's a lot of dynamite.
It was so much dynamite.
A lot of dynamite, and it was, like, definitely spontaneously self-lighting dynamite.
It was, like, they tried to make it, like, oh, the minecart stuck, so it sparked, and it was like, okay.
Well, see, I could even accept that lighting a little bit of dynamite.
But it wouldn't light all of it. One would explode, and the rest would explode. That makes sense. But
yes. And then they all been lit by some self-lighting device.
I don't know. And then they all get hit by a train.
Yes.
So that's good. And then Rico shows up, and he's evil.
Yeah, twist.
He's been working on the side.
I will admit, I didn't see that coming.
I didn't either.
So, plot twist there.
Yeah.
Rico's bad guy the whole time.
And they get away. Cows are put on the train or whatever.
Yeah, so basically Buck decides to stand up for honor, and he runs back, and he throws Rico off, and he's trying to get the cows out. And there's the horse fighting the nephews.
Yes, that was pretty delightful.
And yeah. They run silly, and it's really funny.
They do run silly. and there's also, like, a really boring, inspiring speech there.
Here's the thing. Like, so they're trying to get out of the thing, and they do this, like, brawn doesn't work. We have to use our head. And so I'm really expecting something to use
some sort of head joke.
They don't use their head.
Nope.
They use their brawn to get out.
That's like against cartoon law.
That was really frustrating for me. So Maggie throws Judy Dench Cow's hat out of the Mrs. C, whatever her name is.
Conaway.
Yeah.
Calloway.
Calloway sounds good.
Regret this.
She throws her hat out, and that makes her angry, and she runs after her hat and explodes out of her car. But she was.
Nope.
Especially not when there was, like, use your head, and so they needed to have some actually inventive way.
Yeah.
Instead of just, like, try harder.
I mean, technically, I guess she did use her head because her hat was on her head.
Yeah.
Yep.
But
it wasn't.
No. So they go out, and then they fight Rico.
And there's a train chase scene then.
Yeah.
Now it's
getting there's this quote, though, where Rico says, "Is it the end of Rico?" which is from this old movie. Called Little Caesar, which
is not related to pizza. Don't mention that. I didn't know there was a movie. So, I feel uncultured.
I was really impressed by this because, like, it fit so well into the plot.
Yeah, I didn't
like,
even notice.
It didn't look like an awkward like reference, but it's totally a reference. I was like,
yeah.
Well done.
Yeah.
So it's my other favorite part of this movie. It's like because it fits so well. Yeah, and then there's just trying to chase.
And then they jump the tracks and run into the farm, and I'm like. You are trying to save this farm, and your plan is jump the tracks and run a train into it?
It does hit her garden, which is probably her only source of food,
right
since
now,
all of her animals are her
other
best friends.
Other than eggs!
So,
other than any sort of dairy, basically. I just... That seems so dumb. And then they save the farm, of course, then they trip.
They save the farm, the yodeling doesn't work. Because they stuff a bell down his face.
Yeah.
And this is, like, very much, like, so how do we decide that the cows get this money?
I don't know.
Like, I can really chalk it up to, like, the nice sheriff.
Yeah, wanting to save the farm.
Yeah, so it's like, oh, your cows didn't. Here is the money.
Yeah.
So I really want to see, like, that report
yep.
to whatever higher up law higher up
yep.
is like, oh yeah, I paid $7.50 for some cows.
And then they all win first place.
They all win first place.
They all win first place.
Which I'm okay with. The different animals win first place. They all win first place in the cows. I'm okay that the cows all win because they can win first place in like milking and biggest and you know best face or you know there's a lot of different cow. Categories.
Best cow face.
But the four identical chickens.
I don't know why.
are, like, the point of them through this movie is that they look identical they look the whole
the
time.
Same. Yeah. Same with the little pigs. The three little pigs.
All win first place. All win
first place ribbons. Everyone wins first place ribbons. If they had even just got, like, one big first place ribbon for, like, best farm or something ridiculous, I would have totally bought that. But there are, like, 50 first place ribbons on that cart, and I don't understand.
I think these are, like, participation ribbons.
They like, just say number one to make you feel better.
Like you get in field day in elementary school.
I tried.
And your first one, you're like, yeah! And you're like, your 18th one.
You're like, oh.
I'll just make a belt out of these.
That seems useful.
And then random guy takes their picture.
Random guy takes their picture.
And so that's Home on the Range.
That was a thing.
I'm actually going to put this one above Dinosaur, though.
Are you?
I am.
The animation was better.
Well, here's the thing.
It wasn't as ugly.
There are definite parts of this movie that really worked.
That's true. Like, there's definitely some really funny parts.
Yeah.
The plot of Dinosaur made more sense to me, in general, but... I mean, not more than, like, everything ever, but more than this movie. Because this movie, the plot is just all over the place, and everything's very unnecessary. Like, half the plot doesn't make any sense to me, so I would rank it just below Dinosaur.
Well, okay.
Maybe they can tie.
Here's the thing. Like, especially, like, after, you know, like, after about 10 minutes, like, this really looks like the shorts and, like, Peggy's Bill, and I thought it was... And then, like, you could mine 2 to 3 fantastic shorts out of this. Like,
it's true.
Basically do one thing with Slim and his nephews... And that'd be the best short Disney ever made.
Yep.
That'd be fantastic. You do one short, you know, about the horse who, you know, the horse Enrico.
Yeah.
That'd be fine. That'd be funny for 8 minutes. You know, I guess maybe we'd do one about the cows. Like, for 8 minutes, I could even be okay.
I could stand the cows, yeah.
Like, it'd be a fine slapsticky short, so. Yeah. But, yeah. That's the thing, is like... Just a lot of the movie didn't work.
Yeah.
And I could definitely see... It's still a movie where I could definitely see watching it when I was younger and having more of a nostalgia factor for it.
Yeah, probably. But I don't know if that would even really compensate. I mean, I might enjoy it more. I don't know that I would enjoy it as much as I enjoy everything else.
I don't know. I could see those nephews really working for me.
Just the nephews.
And here's the thing. It's
nephews
really
crunk horse.
My buffalo. The saddest thing. Oh yeah, the buffalo.
Yeah.
And the fact that the buffalo came back at the end.
Buffalo.
With the frat boy cows.
Yeah, that was good.
That really made me laugh. See, that's the thing. Lots of this movie made me laugh a lot.
Yeah.
On levels of like Hercules and Emperor's New Groove.
But the plot didn't fit together nearly as well.
Yeah.
And the characters weren't as likable.
That's the problem. Overall. The characters weren't likable. Yeah. And to, you know, I'm cramming this Emperor's New Groove comparison.
Apparently.
Then, but like...
The reason that movie works
Cusco well. Is a really unlikable person who's a really likable character.
Yeah.
He's really likable. He's really funny.
And, like, everyone is likable in that movie. Isa's really likable. Kronk is insanely likable. Pacha's whole family is really likable. Yep. Even his annoying children are delightful.
Yep.
But, like, a good half of this movie...
I mean, I seriously...
I don't enjoy.
I seriously say, like, this plot makes as much sense as Emperor's New Groove. Like, plot-wise...
And the plot... Okay, the plot in general makes as much sense, I guess, but it's not constructed as well.
The map joke, Megan.
It's just a random joke, y'all.
The map joke.
The map joke's fine.
Do you want my head to go on this table? The map joke.
No. I like the map joke. But, like, the general... That at least makes sense in the context of the movie, that they're going somewhere. It is a traveling joke when they are traveling, random racist Chinese guy.
I'm not defending Chinese guy, I'm defending the yodeler.
Oh, okay, I'll give you the yodeler, but I'm not giving you random racist Chinese guy.
I'm not asking for him.
There's no weird, like, out-of-place jokes like that in that movie, I feel like. Like, even the old guy... Who's, like, talking about how he threw up Cusco's group. That's really funny, because it makes sense in the context. But there's so many things in this movie that just don't They don't make sense.
There are. I'm not saying this is anywhere as good or as funny as Emperor's New Groove. But it's because, like, the big things are really unlikable main characters. And several sub-characters who are okay.
Yeah.
Like, all the animals, except for the buffalo, like, and that's Buffalo's only animal character that really made me laugh.
Yeah.
So, and the frat cows, but...
Frat cows.
But really, in conjunction with the buffalo.
Yeah.
So, that really unlikable characters, and just so many jokes not hitting.
Not working at
like,
all.
You know, number-wise, this probably had as many jokes as that, just like...
Probably.
So many of them were, oh...
Yeah.
Well, that was a joke, I guess.
That tried.
If say you. But, yeah, it's a bit... The biggest shame of this movie is it didn't come out in this day and age where they have to have a little extra DVD short because they would have made a little extra DVD short about
those
nephews.
True,
and it would have been
funny.
Awesome. So that's the biggest tragedy of this movie is that there's no little 8-minute special feature...
Sad.
...of the nephews.
Sad. So sad.
Anyway, that is Home on the Range.
Yep.
Made it through. And next up, we have Chicken Little, which Megan's seen.
Yep.
I'm more concerned about this than Home on the Range.
I've seen this a couple of times, but it's been a while.
So.
I remember it being fine. I remember it being better than this, but my memory might be slightly hazy on that.
Skewed and younger.
Yeah. Well, I mean, not that much younger. I mean, I watched it, like, a couple of years ago.
Okay.
But I don't remember much of it.
We shall see next time.
Yep.
Until then, bye, everybody.
Bye, guys. Everything's green. Know what I mean? Darling, it's quite the sweetest sight that you ever done seen. Ain't nothing much out there. Just life at its best on a little patch of heaven way out west.